Last Sunday, I began the series, When My Heart Hurts, and I think we understand what it's like to be there at times, and perhaps you're there now. At times, it's like I described last week, walking through that slushy snow, just trying to find your footing, trying not to slip, just trying to make it day by day. And I think that's a reminder of how sometimes the road of faith is a hard road. Sometimes the ground feels uncertain beneath our feet. Sometimes we have to slow down, we have to pay attention and lean more fully on the presence of God just to keep moving forward. Because the truth is our hearts hurt. They hurt over loss. They are broken over dreams that are gone, over diagnoses we've never expected would come into our lives, over seasons that leave us feeling like we've wandered into the wilderness, and we didn't choose that. And part of the journey of faith is learning that when the road becomes hard, God's presence does not disappear. That reminder, the song that we sang about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and God is with us. He meets us. He meets us right in the middle of that. This morning, we will continue that journey. We'll continue that walk together. And as we do, I've invited a couple friends of mine, Troy and Melissa Cleland, who are very dear to me. I've known them for many years. Troy serves as the director at Michiana Christian Camp in Niles and has spent much of his life in Christian camping ministry, along with seasons serving as a firefighter and working in home construction, jack of all trades. Master of none. You said it, I didn't. Melissa teaches in a nursing program and has also spent many years investing in people through Christian camping ministry, teaching and interpreting. And together, they've spent much of their lives caring for others and walking alongside people through meaningful seasons of life. And this is one of the reasons why I was so excited to have them here, because they speak into who we are so well. They have a daughter, Aslan, who is married to Tyler, and they have recently stepped into a new and joyful role, becoming grandparents to their grandson, Judah. But this morning, they're not here simply to talk about what they do. They're here to share a part of the story they've lived, a story that includes seasons of deep loss, grief, and uncertainty, and also a story of how God meets us in those places and begins to bring beauty from ashes. So would you join with me as we welcome Troy and Melissa Cleland?
Thank you. Wow. That was quite an introduction. Oh my goodness, I feel like we should pray. It is a delight to be here this morning to share with you. I don't know most of you, I know a few of you, and I've been able to meet quite a few this morning, and it is an absolute delight for me and Melissa just to shake hands with you, to hear a little bit of your story, and just to worship with you. You know, the sun is shining and it is awesome, piercing really, compared to not that long ago, right, when we were shoveling snow and just like shaking our hands at the weather, come on, I just want like above 30 degrees, you know, here we are at 50 some degrees, the sun is shining, and if we take inventory even of last week, devastation, right? Tornadoes, when families were just having a normal day, like what we're doing, and then on a drop of a hat, devastation comes in minutes, and their life is flipped, and the script is changed, which reminds me of a story. I absolutely love this story, and this is kind of where we take off. It's where Peter walks out onto the water. From Matthew chapter 14, I'm just going to read it. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to go to the other side. Well, he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out and walk on the water." "Come," he said. Peter got down out of the boat, walked onto the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat and the wind died down, then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I think it's very apropos that this is the description of life. Of life. I've already heard a few stories this morning about like how the waves are beating against you in your life. And I have a newsflash for you. It will continue. It won't be the last time you take a beating. I just love Peter getting out of a perfectly good boat in a raging storm to prove what? That's a great question. He was focused on Jesus. And then when he turned, he focused more on the waves. He began to sink. How often do we do that in our season of trial and trauma and hurt and grief and wounds? Do we focus more on the pain and the hurt than the one by raising your hands, how many of you are in a season right now of just being beat? I'm so glad that you're here this morning because this is where you need to be. You need to be surrounded by a community of believers, followers of Christ that can come alongside of you and help you when you're going against the waves. That is Jesus in physical form. So, we'll get into our story here. I'm going to introduce my wife. She's sitting right here. And so I'm going to have you come up, and you can just pick up where I left. Okay. Warm welcome.
Good morning. So as Troy said, my name is Melissa, and I am not a public speaker, so I'm going to do my best with this. But he asked me to come and share our story. The past few years for us have been difficult. And so that's what I'm here to do this morning, is to share with you our journey, but also my perspective on what God has taught me through this. So as we said, Troy has been the director at Michiana Christian Camp, and he was the director there for about 10 years. And at one point, we felt called to move to Ohio, and we began working at a camp there in Ohio. It was Troy's home camp, Round Lake Christian Camp. So back in 2024, we were working there at the camp in Ohio. In October of that year, I began to not feel really well. Just kind of had some heaviness and some pain and wasn't sure really what was going on. Just caught, you know, maybe it'll just kind of go away, and it didn't go away. So we proceeded to seek medical help, and so I went to the doctor, went through a series of scans and tests, And we came to realize that I had large masses on both of my ovaries. So our world kind of just flipped upside down. It was like one day you're going through life and everything's normal. Everything's kind of, you're just going through. And the next day, everything is different. And that was really what our experience was there. So we were told that things didn't look great and that we needed to seek out a specialist. So we began to look for a specialist. I was told I needed to see a gynecological oncologist and that they're only really in major hospitals. And so at the time we were living in Ohio and we began to look for the specialists. We looked at the Cleveland Clinic and they had specialists there, but they did not work with our medical healthcare that we had. And so they basically said, yes, we would take you, but you have to pay for everything up front. And it was like, well, we can't do that. So then we looked at Ohio State and they would not take me because I had not officially been diagnosed with cancer yet. And so we were just kind of looking, where are we gonna go? We still owned our house here in Michigan and I still had a doctor that I would see here. And so that doctor helped me find a practitioner in Grand Rapids. And so we ended up going there. And they let me know that I was gonna have to have surgery. And so from October to December, in that short amount of time, the masses inside of me grew so large that I looked like I was 6 months pregnant. And the surgery, they said, was not going to be easy. Because of the size of the masses that were inside of me, they were gonna have to do a full opening up of my abdomen. So in December 13th, we went and I had surgery. It was a 5-hour surgery. And during the time that I was on the table, they did biopsies and did find that I did have cancer. I had ovarian cancer. Thankfully, a lot of the masses inside of me were cysts, but there was a part of it that was cancer. So I woke up and the next 6 weeks of our life were difficult. A blessing of all that was that it was kind of during Christmas, so Troy had some time off. And we still had our house here, which that's a whole nother story of God's provision there, because we were actually getting ready to rent it out. And things just had not gone through. And we look back at that now and are like, that was God's provision. He knew that I was going to need that place. So we went home, and for 6 weeks, I couldn't do anything on my own. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't get out of a chair. I couldn't go to the bathroom. Couldn't shower. Troy had to help me dress. And so I began the process of healing. And my oncologist, they staged me as 1A, which was a blessing. But the type of cancer I had was considered a very aggressive type of cancer. And so they said, even though I was stage 1A, that they wanted me to go through chemotherapy. So for 6 weeks, I healed. Troy was able to stay with me for a few weeks, but his job was in Ohio. So he had to leave and go back to Ohio where he would work. And then I was at home alone. I did have some friends that would come stay with me at times, but for the most part of this journey, I was alone. And so I continued to heal. After 6 weeks, I began chemotherapy. So Troy would drive home. He would be with me at my appointment. He would stay for 2 or 3 days during the worst of it, and then he would leave. And I was at home during that time. I was home alone the whole week that my hair fell out. And he got there on Friday to help me shave the last bit that was there. And so that was a really hard time. You know, and we've always been people of faith. And so at no point was I angry with God. I didn't believe that God did this to me. But I do believe that God allowed it in my life. You know, and so as I sat there and you have questions, why is this happening to me? You know, what did I do in my life that, you know, precipitated this? what choices did I make, all of that. You just kind of go through all of these things in your head of like, why? And through that time and through that season, I believe that God answered that question for me. I feel like it was very clear to me that he answered that question, why? And his answer to me was that it was for my good and for his glory. And you might be like, how in the world is this good? Because it doesn't feel good. It feels scary. I feel lonely. I don't know what the future's going to be. I don't know if it's going to come back. So how is this for my good? And how can it be for his glory? Well, he answered that for me. I could stand up here all day and talk about how it's been for my good. Just a few examples of that. Through that time, as I said, Troy was living in Ohio. I was living in Michigan. And we got to the point where it was just too much. It was too hard. And so we took a step of faith, and Troy quit his job. And he moved home to Michigan with me. And our church stepped up, and they said, we want to do a benevolence. We want to support you financially for a few months until Troy can get back on his feet again. Out of nowhere, they stepped up, and God provided. He provided for our finances. I had people, God just renewed in me the sense of importance of community. Because I had people show up for me over and over again. I'm not a person that usually would ask for help or assistance in any way. Like, it's just kind of like, I'm like the one that likes to go serve. But God said, no, I want you to sit here. And I want you to let me bless you through other people. And so I began to understand and have a whole new appreciation for community, for what the church is and should be in our lives, and who we should be for other people. So those are so many different ways that God just blessed me through this time. So Troy asked me to come and share with you our story and kind of my testimony through this. And he told me that the topic is when the heart hurts. And so I was thinking of that, what comes to me when the heart hurts, ... What came to me was, we have a choice. When the heart hurts, when things are hard, when you don't know how you're going to put one foot in front of the other and how you're going to get through the next day, we have a choice. We have a choice on where are we setting our eyes. You know, I always have this like vision in my head of like, are we walking through life looking down, looking at our circumstances, really like dwelling in the fear, the frustration, the questions, the doubts, or are we looking to him? There's a scripture, Psalm 3:3 says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and you are the lifter of my head. Thank you, Jesus. I love that picture because sometimes it feels so difficult that we can't even lift our head. But all he asks is that we turn our eyes to him and he will lift our head. My testimony is what I've walked through. And I don't in any way want to belittle your journey. I don't know what you're walking through. You may be like, yeah, you had cancer, but this is what's happened in my life. I don't know if you're dealing with loss or addiction or some other kind of traumatic event in your life. I don't know, and I don't want to trivialize that in any way. And I don't know all of the theological, you know, ins and outs of everything, but all I can speak to is what I do know. And I know that in my journey, that he is my strength. At times when I've just been so weak, he's been my strength. He is my comforter. When I'm alone, when I'm sitting there and I'm in pain, he is my comforter. He is my redeemer. Not only has he redeemed me for the grave, but he has redeemed so many things in my life. He is my peace. When I can't sleep at night because I'm worried or afraid, he is my peace. He has walked with me through the storms of my life, and he carries me when I can't walk alone. He is my joy. I was listening to this song the other day, and it's called Who Else Is Worthy? It's by Gateway Worship. And I wanted to read the words to you from this song. It says, I am an instrument of exaltation, and I was born to lift your name above all names. You hear the melody of all creation, but there's a song of praise that only I can bring. My journey, my testimony, is a song that only I can sing. And you're walking through a journey, and God is bringing you to a place where there is a song that only you can sing. It goes on to say, you are the infinite God of the ages, yet you chose to make my heart your dwelling place. You healed my brokenness, showed me your glory, so I have songs of thanks, not even angels sing. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Lamb of God, anointed one who was and is to come, seated on the throne above, holy, holy. Righteous one who shed his blood, you proved to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ be lifted up. Who else is worthy? This is my testimony. This is my song. To bring glory to his name and to thank him for everything that he has done. It's not been easy, and it's not been pretty. There's times of doubt still. There's times of questions still. But I can look back at this past year, and I can say with full confidence that even though it's been hard, it's been good, because he has brought so much good. And my prayer is that everything I say and I do will be for his glory.
I draw inspiration and encouragement from her, and I'm just so thankful for you. In Psalm 34, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Along with her testimony, this year has been, when it rains, it pours. When it rains, it pours. After going through that chemo journey and going through provision that God has just around every corner, he's just made. There has also been other trials. I lost my mother this year. It has been hard. We put our dog down around the time that you had surgery after 14 years. And the list goes on. My nephew had committed suicide in October. He was 16. The waves continue to crash against the boat. And it's not going to stop. And like what Melissa said, raising your head and not keeping your head to the ground and focusing on the fears and the things at hand, but Jesus will bring clarity. It will bring peace in the harshest of storms, and especially in our brokenness. You know, it is a choice, and it's never easy, never easy. But we have the ability to raise our head. We have the ability to get out of the boat. That's something that the Lord has given to us as an opportunity and a blessing. Whether you choose to do that is entirely up to you. But I guarantee you blessings are in your future when you trust in the Lord. Many of you may have already, you may have heard of this. This is, have you ever heard of, I think it's pronounced Kintsugi? Anybody know what that is? It's a Japanese art form where they take broken pottery. You know what I'm talking about? I I can't think of a better illustration of how God uses something. Broken. And using that to create something beautiful. Jesus is so good. He works in the wound. He grows through our grief. He draws near in the darkness. And Jesus understands that our heart hurts. He understands that our heart hurts. Many of you know the story of Mary and Martha, another one of my favorites from Luke chapter 10. Here's where it goes. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home. And by the way, Mary and Martha weren't strangers to Jesus. They knew Jesus. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only me. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." From the words of Jesus. Mary has chosen what is better. What do you choose when times get hard? Do you control? Do you try to control the outcome? "I got this. I don't need help. I don't want people in my space. I'm going to walk this road until death takes me. I don't need you or anybody." Pride can do so much in a person's life. The same way Jesus can bring freedom like you've never experienced, especially in the line of trauma or hurt or pain. We could go on and on about how Jesus can do these things, but they're only words unless you get out of the boat. I want to encourage you this morning that you're not alone. Wherever you are in your story, and like what Melissa said, we're not trying to trivialize where you are. Some of you may have something so horrific that you just don't know what steps to take. And that's okay. My encouragement to you is to share with somebody. If you need prayer, reach out. Something I love about Lowell Kozak. And you are blessed to have him as a shepherd here. He loves his people. He will go out of his way for you. We've known each other for a long, long time. And by the way, he makes some incredible cowboy beans. Among other things. Talk about many talents. He's got a lot of them. I'm not going to stand up here much longer. But I want to offer a prayer to you. Just as a prayer of encouragement to you. Maybe a prayer of courage. To maybe, I don't know, take a step of faith into your healing. What I know about storms, my brother lives in Tampa, and they're always preparing for hurricanes. He's got wooden in the garage to go up on the windows. But every single time there's a hurricane, you know what follows? Sunshine. Sunshine. And so whatever you're going through, Jesus is the sunshine, and I promise you, it's for his good. I mean, for our good and his glory. So let's pray as we conclude. Father, thank you so much for loving us right where we are, the mess that we're in. We're going to be doing this the rest of our life. And I'm just so thankful that you've given yourself in such a way that you've taken all of our hurts, our pains, our sin to the cross. There isn't any place that you haven't been where we are. And I just am so, I don't know, I'm speechless with the amount of love that you have for me, you have for Melissa, and all of those in this congregation. You would go to such lengths just to prove your love for us. And thank you, God, for loving us. And that's it. Just pray for courage and strength that we would continue to get out of the boat, continue to focus on you until we can be with you in eternity. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
It's been hard, but it's been good. Troy and Melissa, thank you so much for trusting us with your story. And something that I've said here before, we are weaving your story into our story. Troy mentioned, getting together. We just spent a couple days together at the camp, Sabbathing together. And that is something that that is part of the story that we have with one another, is being a people that sit with each other. We talked about sitting Shiva. We talked about sitting with one another in the grieving and the lamenting. And it's, we're not trying to fix the other person or counsel them, but to value that story and to incorporate it into my story and your story, our story, we share that story together. And I had a little picture of it this morning that was just precious to me. I have several pictures of our congregation in this way. I was standing back giving hugs and welcoming people, and I hugged on Becky, and then I hugged on Nancy, and they were both talking about how, well, I'm blind in this eye, and the other one's blind in this eye, so Nancy went over to Becky's side and put her arm, and I'm like, the two of you together have 20/20 vision. and they helped each other up to the pew, or the seat, because they could see on the right and the left, and I love that. I just love that image, because that's who we are for one another. That's how important this community is to one another. We just sang, and we recite this over and over again, and I keep referencing it, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Like, that is going to happen. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me, and I see a testimony of that among us. I'm not alone. I'm not alone, and neither are you. God's presence does not disappear. Sometimes it shows up quietly, sometimes it's slow, sometimes in ways that we don't recognize right away. But as Troy and Melissa shared, God meets us. He meets us in the middle of that hurt, in the middle of those ashes. That's where God's presence is. We run away from it oftentimes, don't we? We run away from the pain and the difficulty of that lament and that grief. instead of leaning into it, and we find God sitting there with us, looking at the thing that we seem to be ashamed of. No, he is sitting there, and he's not ashamed of it at all. And I find his healing presence. I find him there. And then I just love how this ties in. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Like in the middle of that valley, in the middle of that dark valley, he overflows. He pours out through his presence as we go through that darkness, as that in that difficult time. Last week, we began ending our time of prayer with a prayer that I wrote. And before we go into our time of communion, I would love for us to pray this again. And we'll pray it throughout this season as a kind of an invitation, if you will, as we go through this series, When My Heart Hurts. So let's pray this together. God of mercy, you formed us from the dust and breathed your life into us. And when we lose our way, your love reshapes us again and again. In this season of reflection, draw us inward, quiet our anxious hearts, lead us to be at peace with you. And as you meet us there, send us outward, move us toward the people around us. Give us the courage to seek forgiveness, to offer grace, to be reconciled with our neighbor. Humble us. Soften what has grown hard in us. Cleanse what needs cleansing. Renew what has grown weary. Form in us hearts that are honest and open so that we may walk in the deep joy of being restored by you. We ask this in trust and hope. Amen.